based out of Ahmedabad. And I'm very happy to be here sharing space with you all. As we begin the session, I planned that we could write in the chat box that what is one important or significant learning you people have had up till now. So it would be great exercise for us to start. Maybe right now you can type in the chat box, or maybe you can unmute yourself and just share. Maybe Hedi or Abita, if you would like to share.
Yes, well, I can surely share because I was just talking with my supervisor. I mean, a professor, Fred Derming, who was supervising my PhD process the other day, and we were talking about my international students in Jyväskylä, and I shared with Fred that how I have actually, because we are both interested in intercultural education and the dialogue, and I was sharing with him that how I have actually learned a lot teaching the international group of students, because the conversations and the students have such variety experiences and perspectives that it's not like I don't feel like I'm teaching, but it's really a dialogue and it's really a sharing the learning. And I think that's what I have really enjoyed. And I think also that's what I believe that education is about.
Super. Wow. Thank you very much, Heidi, for sharing. I also believe it's a process where you teach and you learn yourself as well. Abita, would you want to share something?
Yeah, Irfan. So, I mean, something similar to what Hedi has shared. And I also feel coding is often looked as something that only if you are have really studied and you can do only at a university level. So I'm just looking forward to understanding how do you work with children who are just under school ages and still working with coding, and how do they look at this activity? Yeah.
Super. Nice. And we are going to get glimpse of it, that how does it look like. So this, if you could see my screen, this is a classroom where I started teaching in 2014. They used to be grade 3 and grade 4 kids. And it is in a city called Ahmedabad in India, which has one of the favorite or very popular ashrams of Gandhiji. It's very famous and people often come here to visit the ashram. So this bunch of kids come from a community which migrated into a specific area after riots, which happened in 2002. This community is where people would have different religions. They would speak different languages. One of the beautiful things in such low-income communities is that the success of the children is measured in terms of the scores which they have. Which means how much you are scoring in terms of math or English or science, that would be considered something as a big achievement. Also, I also come from the similar background. So this is something which is ingrained in me from childhood as well, that you have to score good marks. Now, what happens because of this is if kids are scoring low marks, then what happens is parents would feel that children are not going to do well, and they lose hope in them. So I particularly was able to score very well during my school or during my colleges. However, when I started working, what I saw was ki there are certain more skills needed, and when you don't have it, you start feeling inferior as compared to others, and you don't get those thriving opportunities at your workplace. So while working with these children, I had a new or renowned learning, which was that each of this child brought something new into the classroom and which made the class very lively. So I realized that learning is something which makes people alive. And if you are not learning, that means you are not living. And sadly, right now in many parts of the globe, there are situations where learning has stopped in classroom. And I feel very sad to say that children have stopped living, and this is going to impact their future a lot. Also, what I feel is there are so many people like us in this globe right now, those who are trying to do different things. They are co-creating, sharing their learning. Today we are going to create the space for this activity or for the similar activity where we will try to learn from each other. Also, I'm going to share certain learnings which I had by teaching children when I was a volunteer or when I worked as a teacher or right now as an entrepreneur when I'm running this organization. And this learning I have got while teaching coding to kids. So that's why I have named the session as Coding Stories. And this story is like, you know, built, or this learning builds so much hope in me. So that's why I have named it Coding Stories for Hope. And don't worry, I'm not going to bore you with certain programming languages by Python or Java, but we will try to make it fun and interactive. If we move ahead, so just to begin, like, you know, we'll do an activity. So what you are supposed to do is everyone together are going to unmute yourself and you have to say that what did you eat for breakfast? Okay. And don't hesitate and hold yourself back. Rehan and Mrinmay could also participate. So on the count of three, you can unmute yourself right now and everyone together has to say, what did you eat in your breakfast? Okay. Three, two, Abhita, unmute yourself. Yeah, Rehan. Okay, cool. Three, two, and one.
Porridge.
Okay. Super. And imagine right now if we had a room full of, like, you know, 40, 50 people. So my question would be that were you able to hear what other person had to say right now? How many of you were able to understand what other person had to say?
I heard a few people say things.
Yeah. And imagine if there were, like, you know, many people right now, it would have been very chaotic. Okay. And this is sadly the state of mind of children during the emergencies. It's very chaotic where there are so many thoughts running in your mind. It's like a tiger running behind you. And that is not a space, like, you know, which is conducive to learning. That is a space, like, you know, where you are entirely freezed up. And if you even try to teach them, it would be like you are banging your head on the wall. So we have to come up with certain situations that how we can make children escape this chaotic mindset. So in Yemen, Afghanistan, and many more countries right now, children are in similar chaotic state of mind. And it could be because of, like, you know, different reasons like restoration of power, or maybe it could be because of the economic breakdown. But what I feel is everything culminates into same kind of an impact, where in short term, we would see that schools are shut down, learning is not happening. There is a backtracking of learning where children are, like, you know, forgetting things actually. It could be also where the classroom practices which are placed or which are developed by teacher with so much of hard work, they would be dissolved. Also, the kind of relationships which is there between a student, a teacher, and the peers, they are also going into thin air. So these are but just, like, you know, kind of a short-term impact, which I think when the system gets into place, we could, like, you know, overcome them. What I'm worried about is the long-term impact, because that is going to make children not ready to thrive in the future when the systems are back into place. These are the impacts, like, you know, which would be because of the trauma created. There would be lack of self-worth. There would be inability where children are able to make connections or trust each other. There would be cases where there is emotional imbalance, or maybe kids are frightened or freezed because of certain limiting beliefs that they are not trying new things or trying to learn or live as well. In India, in 2020, on 24th of March, lockdown was announced because of the COVID pandemic. And what we saw was the life came to a standstill, where whatever ration people had, they had to live with that over a period of time. And for some people, it was a time to reconnect with their family, those who come from a privileged background. However, for many others in India, it was really chaotic and a severe experience. By 10th of May, I guess, there were 350 deaths which were reported. because of domestic violence or economic crisis, suicide, or because of police brutality. Now, one of the evidence is there were 50 million workers, those who migrated during the pandemic. And this is the largest after partition of India and Pakistan in 1947. Currently, if we try to see the war which is happening in Ukraine, the amount of migration is 0.6 million. So you can imagine and like, you know, put it to perspective that what would have happened to this 40 million worker without any facilities. They started walking towards their home so that maybe like, you know, they are able to save themselves. So I'm good. There's a number put on the screen, which is 320 million. Would you like to guess what this number represents? Anyone?
Probably the number of students.
Okay. Number of students, and like, can you add more context to it? Hedi was trying to unmute and say something. Yeah,
they are out of education system or from low income families or.
Yeah. So these are 320 million learners where affected, like, you know, during COVID, those who did not get chance to learn during the pandemic period. And this is a huge number. Like, if you just imagine that these children had 1 year loss in terms of the grade level, in terms of the learning, then it would amount to 4 billion euros. So that is kind of a loss, like, you know, which we have experienced right now. This is a government classroom of Pune, which I visited a month back. And if you could see, there is a last row over there on the bench. There are a couple of children, those who are sitting. So throughout the whole pandemic, they migrated to some other place, which was their hometown. And they did not get any chance to have the remote learning. And because of which the teacher said that they have forgotten how the letters look like. They are not able to read the numbers. Forget about doing certain mathematical calculations on their own. And this is a grade 3 classroom. And teacher is struggling in a way that what I could do in such a mixed classroom where there are certain children, those who are like, you know, doing very well in terms of their learning. But then there are others and they are in big numbers, those who have lost completely, like, you know, what they have learned in the classroom. So India observed 69 weeks of closure of schools, which is again the biggest globally. What happened as an alternative is online interventions were started and sessions were conducted on Zoom or WhatsApp or on television channels of government or on radio channels as well. In villages, loudspeakers were also used to give out instructions to children so that they can continue learning at their home. However, this was received in a mixed way. So there was this one kind of school, which is from privileged background, where teachers have those kind of skills. They were able to take regular sessions as well as do extracurricular activities also, which means they would learn karate or learn dancing or do drawing in the classroom as well. However, still parents had certain kind of a dissonance with the whole process because children were spending a lot of time on the screen, and this was like, you know, something which was creating maybe headache or some other diseases, like, you know, to the children. Besides that, teacher also found it really hard to make a connect and form bonds with the student. However, there were on the other side, there were 42% of the children, those who study in government low-income schools in grade 6 to or maybe like, you know, an age group of 6 to 30. So they did not receive any online intervention, as I shared before and showed a classroom where, like, you know, you saw those children. Now, because of no intervention, children did not come to school and they have dropped off. Boys have started supporting their family financially, whereas for the girls, they have been married off at a very young age. And the children, those who have come back to the classroom, again, it's been seen that they don't have the abilities to read or they have lost actually this one of the skill, like, you know, to do a mathematical calculation. So this is how the short-term impact looks like in the classroom when pandemic happened in India. Now, one of the disheartening stories during this emergency was for me that a child called Devika, just 14 years of age, died because of suicide because she was not able to attend online sessions, and it was kind of a, like, you know, pressure for her that she was not going to fulfill the dreams of the parents. And there have been so many similar stories coming out in India during the COVID. And I feel this is a severe breakdown of the education system. This is a classroom where I used to teach before pandemic. For 1 year, we had an after-school program where I would go with my laptop, do coding sessions with children. These children again came from low-income families where their parents would be doing, they would be vegetable sellers, auto rickshaw drivers, or doing some blue collar work. So during COVID, when the schools were closed, at that time, we tried to devise our curriculum in a way that on smartphones, we could, like, you know, teach children. However, we were not able to access this group of very smart children because they did not have any infrastructure. And when the school started again, I got a chance to visit and meet the principal over there in the school. And I was surprised to hear that one of the girl child had cut her hand with blades over a very petty issue of disciplining, like, you know, by the parents. And you can understand, like, you know, it shocks you when you hear this kind of stories that how children are not able to maintain their emotional state. And this is going to be there with them for a long period of time. So we have to come up with certain solution which can ease them off through this chaotic place. However, my question is that do we only consider emergencies which happens during war or during pandemic? So India is, like, you know, a very beautiful state. It has 28 other states. There are 9 million territories are there. You could find temperature here which goes from 45 degrees centigrade to minus 45 as well. There are glaciers, you will find rivers as well. There are mountains also. And people over here speak 9, maybe, like, you know, over 1,000 different dialects. There are 9 different religions which has been practiced over here. So you can see the diversity with which we live in India. And when you have diversity, of course, conflicts are going to happen over different issues, which could be economic, which could be religious, or maybe, like, you know, something else. There's one more statistics I have on the screen. I would love if you people could guess. So it says 1 student per hour. Can you guess what does it represent?
Probably dropping out of school.
I would have.
Okay. So 1 student per hour, it's a very sad fact that 1 student per hour committed suicide in 2019 because they were not able to emotionally balance themselves during the school and because of the pressure they were, like, you know, trying to have. And this happens because the schools or the community are not empowered in a way to support the children, and children are actually feeling pressurized. And this happens mostly in communities which is, like, you know, facing poverty, or they are going through certain riots or certain conflicts or certain civil war kind of an issue in the country. I'm going to show you one video right now which is going to help you understand that how does it look like in the classroom. So this is, like, you know, very one small insight which you would be able to get. So I'm going to show this video right now. So let me know if you are able to hear the voice and see the screen of the video. Can you see it?
We are not able to hear anything, but
sorry,
we We are not able to hear.
Oh, okay. So basically, this is a video of a girl who is going to the school to submit her project in one of the states of Karnataka. And she's being bullied right now for wearing a hijab. And just you could see that how the situation looks like. So I just wanted to show you that how does it look like, and it's just a question which I want to put it in front of you all, that do we really need to expand our definition of emergency right now? Because if we don't do that, then we would be like, you know, creating situations which would be really hard for us. That it is going to break down in such a way that it would be difficult for all of us to build it again. So this was like, you know, one of the questions that how actually should we define emergency, because there are so many children, those who are living in the cycle of poverty again and again, and should we consider that also as an emergency or not? There are countries which have been in state of chaos because of religion or some other issue. Should we also consider that as an emergency? Because the long-term impact is going to be same, where children are going to have those traumas and they won't be able to create those opportunities for themselves to thrive. And I'm so sorry, like, you know, this would have been a really overwhelming experience maybe for some of you. I think we could tone it down with a very lame joke right now. And I keep doing this in my classroom a lot. So the lame joke is there on the screen, and feel free to, like, you know, share your answer, that the question is, why did the teacher wear sunglasses in classroom? It's a lame joke. It will just help us to ease out right now a bit. Any guesses, like, you can guess anything. And believe me, the answer is going to be very lame. I think someone is typing in the chat box.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. 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 I'm so sorry, I'm not able to pronounce the name. Is it Sion Yang?
Sion, yes.
Sion Yang. Oh, you have guessed it really. You have guessed it right. The answer is because the students were really bright. Now, I want to ask you one question, that how did you feel when we saw this video? You had some kind of an emotion. And when we just got through this lame joke, like, you know, there would be another emotion created inside you. So if you could share out that, how did you feel after, like, you know, we went through this joke? Was there any change in your emotion, or how did it look like?
I think when I was watching the video, I felt anxious. Anxious, and it felt very unsettling. But then with this question, I know this joke because I was also a teacher myself, and then this came up during, I think, for a workshop, I think. That's how I remember this. But with this, it's more like positive and how we view students yeah, it just there was a definite change in my emotions between the two, I would say.
Thank you very much for sharing, Sion Young. I hope I would be like, you know, pronouncing your name correctly, but apologize like, you know, if I'm not. Anyone else would like to share that? How did you feel after hearing this joke? I am a very patient teacher and I can wait. So yeah, just one more response and I think we can move ahead.
I guess it's somehow like a little bit released the stress, because I somehow felt the video quite stressful for that particular student.
Yeah. And that's what, like, you know, these are the opportunities we need to create for children, those who are in emergency, so that they can ease themselves off, come into a situation where we could start creating learning for them. Now, the question is that how should we do it? Because in certain chaotic situation, what happens is when it happens again and again with you, you start developing certain limiting beliefs within yourself. So a limiting belief would look like that I'm not good enough when you have faced series of rejections, and it stops you from exploring yourself more, growing and learning and living as well. I'm going to show you one more video from the classroom where I used to work with. So this video is made by grade 5. There are two girls in grade 5, those who came up with this video. And they are trying to express that, I think, like, you know, I can show you the video and it would be really helpful rather than me describing things. So, yeah. So when we are, I hope you got a chance to see it. If not, I can, like, you know, play it again as well.
We saw it.
Yeah. So they come from a minority religion, like, you know, over here. And I was very surprised to see. So we keep creating these opportunities where students try to express something about their feelings in the classroom, and they come up with certain animation games or applications. So they code it and they, like, you know, tend to share it with everyone. And I was surprised to see that how come such a young girl in grade 5 can have such disliking towards dance and music. And imagine the kind of narrative that is going on inside the home, which is making her believe that dancing or music is a sin. Okay, so this is just an evidence which I wanted to show you, that how limiting beliefs are formed in children, and that keeps coming in the classroom again and again in some form or the other. Now, chaos is going to be constant because we are seeing this from the past, and we have to come up with ways in which we can make learning possible for children in this chaotic situation. Now, it is not impossible, I feel. Because we human beings are born with so much of resilience, and you could see when a young child starts walking, he or she would fall down and they would try to pick themselves up and they will start walking again, and this keeps repeating again and again. However, during this chaotic condition, what happens is if this happens again and again, then there are limiting beliefs is formed inside the children, they would remain in a chaotic state, or maybe they would be in a state of flight to fight, or they would be like, you know, freezed completely, and they will start having a belief that I don't have any choice in my life. And that's when they'll shut them out completely, where no learning would be possible. And I believe that this would be like, you are not living right now. Now, to avoid this, we could do a very small thing, is just make a child believe that you have a choice right now. And it could be very limited as well. But once the child starts realizing this, they will start continuing learning and they would start living on their own itself. So this is something which I have realized through my experience, and I'll try to do different activities which will help you believe this as well. Now, the question is that how do you do that? How do you make a child believe that he or she has a choice? Now, to do that, what I would love to do right now with everyone is, can you think of a period in your lifetime when you were stuck for a significant period of time? And then try to think that how did you unstuck yourself? What were some of the steps that you did to make yourself move ahead? And let's try to share and make it a bit interactive. And that is going to help us learn a lot. So I'm going to stop here, and it would be nice to hear a couple of responses where you felt stuck. Don't have to put down details if it is like, you know, you are not comfortable with it. But then we would love to hear that what steps help you move ahead.
Oh, I guess I can share, going along with what Abita had just shared. I have a similar experience. So I went to school in South Korea until I was in grade 4. And then my family moved to a country called Malawi in East Africa. And I had to transfer to an international school. So in South Korea, in my class, there are about like 40 Korean students. So it was very ethnically homogeneous. And then the international school I transferred to, it was very, very international. So it was definitely new for me, dealing with all these different types of people from different cultures. And I had a hard time kind of adjusting to that. And I don't think I took actions voluntarily, because I was very young at that time. So similar to Abita, I had teachers who helped me learn the English language, as well as to learn to adjust to a new culture and this new atmosphere that I was in. Yeah. So.
Super. Great, Fionn. Thank you very much for sharing. So if you would try to still, like, you know, dig deep into it, what you would realize is ki there was a phase where you realize that something is not working out. And maybe you feel right now that teacher were someone like, you know, who were helping you out. But then I feel that there was something innate inside you as well, which tried to analyze the situation initially, that things are not working out for me and there should be certain new experiences, where you started talking with the teacher and interacting, and like, you know, those ever activities which you people decided, like Abita said, maybe reading or like, you know, speaking more. So you collaborated and did certain actions which would help you to move ahead, like, you know, from this stucky period which you had. And I feel all these skills which we talked about, of analyzing, creating a new experience, or working with someone else and trying to create those experiences again and again, where you persevere a lot, are 21st century skills. And there are so many different organizations, those who have researched about it, and they have said, like, you know, that the skills are going to be very important for children to thrive. Now, one of the ways to build this skill is giving children an autonomous activity to do on their own, where a children would try, learn, or do something, reflect and learn on their own. Now, this activities, autonomous activities, help children to build 21st century skills, and also it helps them to build self-learning abilities in them. Now, how this is going to help during the emergency is, when you have a self a limiting belief inside you, the same skills you would be able to use for yourself and try to realize that you do have a choice in your life. You feel worth, or like, you know, there is a feeling of self-worth, and then you try to move ahead in your life or maybe create those experiences to learn and move ahead. And there is a research being done in Spain with 256 children where they try to see that how effective personality, which means enthusiasm, self-worth, confidence, is connected with critical thinking, which is an important part of 21st century skills, and they go positively hand in hand. Okay, now to see more qualitative evidence, I have got Rehan and Mridmay with me. They both live in Delhi and they are part of an intervention of, like, you know, CEL or Code to Enhance Learning, which is an organization that I lead. They are in grade 9 right now. We got in touch with them last year during August when schools were closed. And still there were, like, you know, impact of pandemic going on in India. So I think we can have a round of applause for Mridmay and Rehan to come and, like, you know, share their story as well.
Hello.
Yeah, Rehan and Mridmay, you can go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, I would just like... I would just request you to make my second, like, I have joined from two devices, one for presenting the screen. So make it paused also so that I can share my screen.
Oh, okay. Abhita, can we make him co-host?
Yeah, or like Heidi will give permission for him to share the screen. Yeah.
Okay. I don't.
Should I stop sharing my screen or?
No. I'll. You can stop sharing in between, and then I'll start.
Okay.
You're able to share now, Rehan.
Okay, let me see.
There is one more account called Muhammad Rehan Ahmed. I think we need to make that account also co-host.
Yeah.
He's I am already co-host.
Yeah, everybody should be co-host now. But I think if somebody else wants to share, then this one needs to be taken out. So only one can share at one go. So if you can, Irfan, stop sharing. And then Rehan.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, as soon you will stop sharing, I am able to share. So it's okay.
Okay.
So okay, we can start.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Can we start?
Yeah.
Okay, so hello everyone. I hope you all are doing well. And I am Rehan.
And I am Rehan. I hope you all are doing well. We are excited to present our work to you today. So first of all, let's talk about the pictures which you can see on your screen. So these pictures are a place in Delhi, and here in this community only I and Mridmay live. And also in our community, we have people from different minorities, different religions, different customs. Means there is too much diversity, as India is a diverse country, so diversity could be seen in every community.
Okay, so community from where we are belonging to is have several issues like abuse and violence and basic sanitation, lack of good health facilities and low income wages, and the income of the people of our community is less than 500 Indian rupees in a day, which is almost around 60 euros in your community.
Okay, so during COVID-19 pandemic, when schools were closed and people was sitting on their home due to lockdown, so our school started offering classes online. However, teacher has found it very hard to conduct session online because they had never taught anyone online, or they had never studied online. Like, so that's why people were facing too many problems, especially the teachers and students. So only few teachers were able to conduct sessions, and those teachers were supported by different non-profits, for example, Teach for India. And I also didn't had any session, so I was also bored throughout the whole day. Also, my father lost his job, and our savings were also lost due to COVID pandemic. So I could see my parents were also very frustrated, and that often made me feel very bad. But yeah, we all have suffered a lot through these difficult times.
I was during lockdown, I was also get very bored throughout the whole day. Then one of my teachers suggest me to participate in the coding program provided by CL, and the CL was a 4-month activity, and we had session with Swamya, who was the facilitator of our, and he used to take, and he was the employee of Tata company, and he used to take one session with us in every week. And we on through those sessions we learned to code through our mobile, and on that same sessions I met with Ryan, and then we became friends and we together made this program.
Okay, so after those 4 months activity, we enjoyed a lot. We made new friends, and we are still interacting with the facilitator Priyam Bhaiya. We play games online. It was a great experience. So after that, and the end of 2021, we got to know about a hackathon organized by CEL, and 250 kids from different corners of India was participating in it. And this was really a great opportunity for both of us to show our creativity, to show our skills. So I and Mrimed decided to partner and work on this project. Also, after we made this project, we got an opportunity to share our project with Rujna Didi, who works as a principal scientist at Amazon. And she also appreciated us a lot. She was so nice and kind to us. And it really felt a bit inspired, and it really felt that we have done something. So that was also a great experience. Also, we are here to show you our project. So I would just like to ask, would you like to see our project?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So thank you very much for giving us permission. So first of all, let's start from the situations in my community. So one of the biggest problem in my community, you know, right, people are belonging from the middle class families, and that's why they are working as daily wage worker, street vendors, or very few people have their regular jobs, but they are also paid very, very less. As we already told you that it is around 6 euros in a day and less than it. So people are often very depressed, and that's why people are keep fighting on very, very small issues. For example, fighting over parking the bike, and fighting over dropping water in street. And to cope up with all this depression, the worst thing they do is that they start consuming drugs, which is a very common problem. We have seen most of the people taking cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs. And this is a really horrible experience since my childhood. So that's why as in hackathon, we have to make a project to help people, and that project should be aligned to UN Sustainable Development Goal. So I choose Sustainable Development Goal, goal number 3, that is good health and well-being, and target number 3.5, which is goal to strengthen the prevention and treatment of substance abuse or drug abuse. So as our problem was also aligned to UN Sustainable Development Goal, we are made this project to help people in our community, and basically to make people aware. So first of all, it is important for us to understand why prevention from drug abuse is important. See, till when we not understand that how big is the problem or why we need solution of this problem, we will not able to think about it. So according to data.org, smoking, alcohol and drugs kill more than 11.8 million people per year, both directly and indirectly. I think you can feel that this is really a huge number, like people are dying on very huge scale.
So from here our story gets started, and here is our main character. He said his life is weak and his luck is against him. Basically, he gets very depressed. So he decided to consume alcohol to cope up with the depression. And then he go to an alcohol shop and buy alcohol from that shop. And he start taking alcohol from that day continuously. And he became an alcoholic.
Okay, so as there is the prevention part, like people think the prevention of becoming a drug addicted starts from the part when a person had already become drug addicted, which is totally wrong in my opinion. Because I think that prevention starts from the part when a person is depressed, moves to cigarettes, alcohol, and then drugs. Because depression is the root cause of this problem. So why don't we start prevention from the root cause? So whenever a person is depressed, he should talk to somebody who he or she can trust. Because depression has no solution except sharing your feelings. And involving in these things will never fade away his depression. This will make the condition more and more worse. And we will show you these all things in our project definitely. So let's continue the story first of all. So as story continues, from that day onwards, Rudra, that is our main character, started taking alcohol continuously. And as now he was more and more depressed and alcohol was increasing his depression. But he felt that it was decreasing the depression, but that was not true. But that's why in a week only, he felt that alcohol is not enough for him. So he moved a step forward and went in a search of drug dealer. And now as you can see how the depression has increased and now he decided to consume drugs.
So from here, our game part gets started. And we put this game part in the middle of the story to explain people that drug is not good at all in a fun. So here are three characters behind the main character. So the game is started. So who would like to play the game with me? Just unmute and say. Anyone?
We would love anyone to volunteer, please.
Okay, I'll play Rahman.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Which character you would like to click first? There is main character Rudra and behind it there is three other characters.
I'll play the other character who's behind him, the guy who's wearing the coat.
Okay. So as conversation starts between these two and he asks, are you a dealer? And congratulations, you found a drug dealer in the whole three characters in first attempt. So now he found a dealer and there is two options like white stuff that is drugs or it's time to go to jail. Which would you like to choose?
White stuff.
Okay, white stuff. So let's choose. And these are three types of drugs which has been named incorrectly. So which one you like to consume? Like you like to choose for Rudra to consume?
The first one, washing powder.
Washing powder, okay. So as ma'am has chosen the drug and now Rudra started consuming drugs. So, but in a few moments only, he was feeling very, very uneasy. And the reason behind this is that this was his first time. So his brain was not able to accept it. So he was in a few moments only, he fainted down. And here is a ghost coming and give message that it always happened with those who are drug addicted. So you can see like the consequences of becoming a drug addicted, it went till here. And now this ghost has captured this person, which clearly shows that this person is now in captivity of drugs. So many people in the world lost their life because of drugs. This, you know, I think. And so never be silly and never play with your life. And we will say no to drugs. Now, would you like to play again or would you like to leave the game?
Rehan, we will move ahead.
Okay. So let's leave the game and move ahead in story.
So from here our story gets continued. So here is Rudra. And Rudra got his old friend and his friend helped him to get out from the depression. And then here is a main quote that never ever think drug can help you to get out from the depression. And then here is a part, here is the prevention part that he became a drug addict. Then also his depression not living. Why? Because that's not the solution of that problem. And here is another phase that if anyone is already drug addicted, so what they can do? So if anyone is drug addicted, so they can reach out to those NGOs who are working on it. So if they will reach out to those NGOs and take help from them, so they can definitely get out from that depression or drug addiction. And in our list, we mentioned 3 numbers. And if anyone is drug addicted, so they can definitely reach out to them and take help from them. And here is a disclaimer that these are the numbers only work in India. Means these are the NGOs who work in India. If anyone is want to reach out to the those NGOs which is in other country, so they can definitely search on Google. They will get the number.
Okay, so let's move to next part. Sorry, I was on mute. So there is a main thing on this. So first of all, like whenever we think making a country or the world drug free, we often think that it is responsibility of those who are already drug addicted. Are you agree? Do you agree with this? Like people think like making a country or the world drug free is only the responsibility of those who are drug addicted. I would like to have some responses, please.
Whatever you think, you can like share.
So I think I should repeat what I just said. So I said that making a country or the world drug free is only the responsibility of those who are drug addicted. People often think this. Is it true or do you not agree? Any response?
I mean, I think it's also the responsibility of others and not just those people who are in drug addicts.
Yeah. So it is the responsibility of everyone as a responsible citizen. So you can do some small steps. We mentioned 4 steps which you can follow, and these are very small steps. So you can avoid, first of all, temptation, and you can support your friends and relatives who are basically who are depressed. Na, then only they move to alcohol, drugs, and then their problems in their life start. So you can help those who are depressed. So that problem will end up there only. So you can do this, and you can avoid people with low esteem or low self-esteem. And most important part is that you can spread awareness. Now, spreading awareness is the key of almost all the problem, I think. Like, see, if someone who is depressed, he has awareness, like these are the consequences when a person has become drug addicted. So he will definitely think like before becoming drug addicted or before moving to these all things. So your small steps can save some life. This was my message, and here our project ends. So first of all, I would just like to explain few changes that happened me, like when I was involved in 4-month activities with Shivam Bhaiya, and then I did this hackathon. So first of all, I was busy and occupied, so I was engaged in these all things. So I just forgot boredom, and it made us excited, and it also made us to think. So our skills also enhanced, and the facilitators, Shivam Bhaiya and Irfan Bhaiya himself, are really nice. It is fun to work with him. They are very friendly. We often play games with each other, like online games, and this is a very amazing experience. Also, I would like to end my project with a quote, is that drugs take you to the hell disguised as heaven. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rehan and Mirinmay. Guys, we can, yeah, of course, give them a round of applause for presenting right now, and they have been preparing for I think 3 or 4 days so that they can do this presentation seamlessly. Now, what we will have chance to question Rehan and Mirinmay both by the end of the session right now as we close it. But what you could realize is that during the school closure, initially when they were feeling frustrated and they were not having something to do, by just giving them a particular structure of what they could do in terms of coding. So coding was one of the activity that we used to help them ease off that chaotic mind they have. They started doing things on their own. So these are none of our ideas which we have taught them. Completely, they have researched everything on Google, finding out that how the experience looks like for a drug addict. They try to identify that on SDG, like, you know, what are certain things we need to focus on, what are certain targets are there, how their community is related to, like, you know, the SDG. And they came up with the solution of what could be the a drug addict could do. So you could understand that when children don't have choice during the emergency, we could create small autonomous activities for them, which could ease them off from the pressure and they could keep learning on their own. So that was we, like, you know, we were trying to see right now. And I hope this is going to build conviction in these children so that they understand the self-worth in them and keep continuing this process again and again. Moving ahead, I'm just going to share my presentation. And I know we are a little bit off time, but so sorry, like, you know, for this. So there are 40.9, there's a revenue of 40.9 billion, which is going to be there in 2020 in terms of the edtech sector. So which shows us that technology is going to creep in into every part of the globe when we talk about India. So you could see that more people are having those devices or the smartphones, they are having the internet connection. So possibly this is one of the ways in which we could reach out to children during the emergency when things are completely shut. And also kids respond to technology very well. There is a research done that 2.5 times more children like to learn on digital devices that the children, those who come from low income background communities. At CEL, what we try to do is we envision that how children could use technology in their real life to thrive. And we use coding activities so that it becomes a tool for children to build creativity, critical thinking, collaboration and perseverance. Our model is very simple. We allow children to observe their community and themselves, try to connect and find out problems which are related to sustainable development goal. Then we ask children to brainstorm that what could be a particular solution to it. Kids then code with the help of facilitators or through our resources, and they create opportunities for themselves to share it to their friends, teachers, or the school community and parents. So this whole activity builds in them, this autonomous activity builds in them the 21st century skills, which helps them to keep learning on their own, like how Rehan and Brinmay did during the pandemic when schools were closed. In January, we also published a white paper which showed that how children are becoming more aware about their communities and the problems which are there related to sustainable development goal. And they are able to think in multiple steps, which has increased their thinking when they come up with solution and they try to interact and collaborate with their peers as well. You could find the, I can share the link of the paper with you as well in case if you want to read more. Now, I'm not saying that coding could only be the autonomous activity, but what we have realized is you could do activities with poem, literacy, numeracy, anything which you are passionate about. However, there are certain significant elements which we have identified which could help in terms of building self-learning in children. The first important element is the activities needs to be contextual. So if you see right now, children were able to connect with one of the problems in their community, which was related to addiction or mental well-being. So this excites children a lot that they are doing something. The another significant element should be that they should be able to think, create and reflect in the whole process. There should be opportunities for children to either interact with a facilitator or with the peer group, and it should be a mix of blended learning. So for example, we give them a very small opportunity to learn to code on smartphone, but then there were so many resources which we had built, or there were other opportunities which they themselves figured it out, which comes into asynchronous learning, and that helps them to learn even more. And finally, we all love to share our work. So showcase opportunities becomes really important, which builds confidence in children and keeps them motivated to keep learning ahead. Also, I feel that currently, when I talk to people around, SDG seems to be very holistic. However, I feel that it becomes very difficult for people to bring it or to break it down, make it contextual to their real life. And if we want to have a quicker progress to SDG, I feel one of the important stakeholders is children. We need to target them. And how it could be done is this autonomous activity should involve SDGs as well. Like how they came up and went to the goal 3, which is good health and well-being. They figured out the targets on their own. So if we try to do that, then they'll start thinking from themselves that how these challenges should be looked upon and how we can work, and they'll start having a collective action that how Mrinmay and Rehan both work together towards something. So this is not going to bring about a lot of change right now, but I think one at a time, if self-driven communities are created or people are created, then it would be even better for us to reach to quicker progress to the SDG. I'll close with three important things which I feel we need to focus on. First is developing more or doing more research on what kind of other autonomous activities could be there and how they would be helpful during the emergency. The second is developing a curriculum and pedagogy related to the significant elements which I have shown, and maybe there are more elements which we could figure it out. And last but not the least, can we try and celebrate together the children, those who are going through the emergencies and they are fighting every day. So this is going to give them more motivation and they have the choices so that they keep learning ahead and keep living, as I said before. Thank you very much for this opportunity, and we all three are open to questions that you might have.